Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter podcast. I am your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I am on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. I'm joined with Jeff Barlow of Nimrod Outdoors, and he is here to talk about his hunt mentor, the project that he is turning on right now and really hitting the gas with, trying to get people involved with. So we're going to take time to get to know Jeff and hear his mission as well as what he is trying to accomplish and just hear the story. So Jeff, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be a great hour. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. So Jeff, tell everyone who you are, where you're from, what it is that you do. And
okay. Name's Jeff Barlow, grew up in Southern Utah. Just spent lots and lots of time outdoors in Southern Utah. Did a lot of hunting and fishing as a kid. My dad wasn't much of a fisherman, but my grandfather was. And so he took me fishing a lot. And my dad was a hunter. And we went hunting with my dad and uncles. And back then it was just a big family occasion. And it was great to be in camp, even as a little kid. And to be able to hang out with my cousins and all that kind of stuff. So grew up in the outdoors in Southern Utah and spent, 35 of my 45 years there in Southern Utah. And met my wife down at college in Southern Utah. And we have since had 7 kids. Love raising the kids. It's a great life. Very, very busy, very active, but wouldn't trade it for the world. About 10 years ago, we moved up to, we'll call it northern central Utah, a little town called Price, Utah. And we've been here for about the last 10 years and been raising our families here in this awesome little town for outdoorsmen. I mean, here in Price, we're I can be on the mountain at over 10,000 feet in less than an hour, or I can be out on the desert riding four wheelers and looking at bighorn sheep in less than an hour the other direction. And so for a sportsman, it's a pretty awesome place.
Man, that sounds pretty awesome. See, over here in the Pacific Northwest, north of Seattle, it takes us an hour just to drive 10 miles down the road. So you're constantly fighting that jungle, that commuting life.
Yeah, that's a life I would definitely not want to have. I love our little town. It's I think we're probably 12,000 people here in Price, and my commute to work is about 5 miles, and it takes me about 7 minutes.
Man, that's beautiful. Well, it just goes to show like how important it is to get out into the wilderness and to get out and to live your life and get after these adventures to fuel your soul and get back to a level of normalcy.
Yeah, it really is. Even in our peaceful little town that we have here, I tell my wife and she understands that that's why I go to the mountains, is that's where I find peace. I get closer to nature and I get closer to my creator, and it's just a place that I can find peace. And so we spend, as a family, we spend a lot of time in the mountains and in the outdoors and just enjoying life.
That's what it's all about, man. If you're not enjoying life, something's wrong.
That's right. You're putting,
we only get one of them. You got to make the most of it.
Yeah. You're putting way too much work into no enjoyment if you're not enjoying it.
Right. So I'm a school teacher. And every day I tell my kids, well, first off, I address them. I'm like, good morning, boys and girls. And I wait for them to respond back to me. And then I say, it's great to see you. today is a great day to be alive. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for coming. And then I got different names for each day of the week. I'd be like, today is Marvelous Monday, and today's Terrific Tuesday, Wonderful Wednesday. And I just go down the list, and they just like stare at me cross-eyed.
Yep.
And I'm like, wouldn't you rather have me be excited and passionate here in the classroom rather than coming in and be like, with a pouty face, being like, oh, boys and girls.
Hey, being here. Right. My dad was an educator my entire life growing up. He was an educator, and his big thing was attitude determines altitude.
Yeah.
And so to hear you say that, and to be able to hear you're teaching children that, and kids that, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's special to be able to impact lives.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, you never know if a farmer, when he's throwing his seed out, is going to get picked up by birds, or the ground is going to really take it, or the seed's going to take hold, you still got to throw those seeds out. You still got to plant the seed.
You got to plant them, and then after you plant it, you still got to water and nourish it. So
that's right.
And that's so very cool.
With all that, it's a great segue right into the Hunt Mentor.
Yeah.
What is Nimrod Outdoors? How did you come up with the name with it? And what is this mission that you are trying to push?
Okay. Well, years ago, it was probably been 5 or 6 years ago. My wife and I had a joint Facebook account. Instagram really wasn't a thing quite yet. And so we had a joint Facebook account, and my kids at that age, the oldest one was, in his mid-teens at that point. And we have our six children, our seven children, six of them are boys. And so my teenage boys, I was looking for something to do with them to keep me involved in their lives and active in their lives and knowing what's going on. And so we started filming and sharing our outdoor adventures on my Facebook page. Well, on my wife and I's Facebook page. She came to me one day and she goes, "You need to do something different, because all I ever see on my Facebook page is your hunting stuff." And so about that point in time, I had been reading in the book of Genesis, where it talks about Nimrod, the mighty hunter. And it just clicked. It said, that's the name right there. And there we started Nimrod Outdoors at that time, so that we could share our outdoor adventures with everybody else.
I love it. Now, one of the weird things that, at least my generation, so I'm 35, and I remember when I was in fifth grade, the very first Walkman cassette player tape that I listened to was Green Day Dookie on the Way to School. And I thought, I was like, oh no, I'm going to get in trouble for listening to this. Then they later came out with an album called Nimrod. And so like, that's more often than not is the word Nimrod is associated with someone who's not intelligent, but it actually is biblically the name of someone who is referenced as a great hunter.
Yeah, exactly. It calls him a powerful man on earth and a mighty hunter. So that's where the name came, because I want my boys to be powerful men on earth, not necessarily in the corporate sense or, in the worldly sense, but I want them to be powerful men that people look up to. And so that's the name we came up with is Nimrod Outdoors. And that's what we go by. We try to share all of our outdoor activities with everybody that we can. It was pretty good. If you look at our logo, it's actually the front end of an elk with the back end of a mule deer. And so it's kind of screwed up, and that's kind of played off of the old Nimrod, all screwed up, kind of played off of that worldly connotation of the word to come up with the logo. I think it works out pretty good. It looks pretty good.
I love it. I'm trying to pull that up right now so I can take a look. One of the things I want to just say real quick before we jump into more of the hunting side of things, mm-hmm. is I'm really impressed that you say that you want your children to grow up to be powerful. Because I want to just address that as a topic right there, is that more often than not, people confuse power with either money or success, yeah. or physical stature.
Yeah.
But power just is truly standing in who you are and having true identity in what you believe on and what you want to achieve in your life. And that is power.
Yeah, and having a conviction of who you are and what you stand for. And yeah, that's all you can ask for your children to be.
Absolutely. So. That's one of the things I talk about with my wife, is that we want our children to be independent thinkers.
Yes.
Not someone to be easily swayed one way or the other, to get pushed with the stream, that they can stand there strong and yeah. believe in what they believe in.
Yep, exactly. That's couldn't have said it better myself.
I love it. So dive more into the Hunt Mentor.
Okay. So
what's going on?
This year, it kind of came to me this year. We have in my freezer, I was able to have a limited entry moose tag last year here in Utah. I was able to fill that tag. We filled it with a couple of deer, and we have an elk in the freezer. This year we have, three of my sons have deer tags. The other one has a limited entry elk tag here in Utah. And I said to myself, you know what? I don't need the meat. I don't need my tag. My priority is to fill their tags, as my kids, is to get their tags. I don't need my tag. And so Utah has a great mentor program, where some states require that you be related to the kid that you mentor. Utah doesn't. And so I decided that I am going to give up my tag this year and let a different a youth hunt off of my tag.
Wow.
And so the ball started rolling in my head and things that we could do. And the Hunt Mentor program came alive in my head. And what we're trying to push is that anyone that wants to and can and is able to mentor a youth, whether it be their relation or whether it be their friend's kid or whatever it might be, get out into the field with that kid, get out in the outdoors and take pictures, take videos, post them up on social media, and let's just flood social media with Hunt Mentor. Let's get the kids the opportunity to hunt and to be in the outdoors, and let's teach them about a respect for it, and everything that goes along with being in the outdoors. And that's the Hunt Mentor program. It doesn't matter whether you're here in Utah or whether you're in Kansas or in Washington or wherever it might be. And it doesn't necessarily even have to be a kid. You know, if you have a neighbor that's down the street and he's 35 years old and has never hunted but has expressed interest in it, get him out there. You know, take him to the hill, teach him, just be a mentor to him. And so that's kind of what the whole mentor program is all about. And we've kind of evolved it. My tag is for the Manti unit here in Utah. And I'm actually now branching out and looking for a couple other guys that have tags on the Manti unit that would be willing to mentor kids. And what I want to do is I want to bring these kids all to camp the night before the opener of the deer hunt. I want to bring them in. I want to put on a big dinner for them, bring their families in, maybe bring in the Division of Wildlife here in Utah, have them talk about the mentor program, have them talk about conservation, and then maybe do some prizes for the kids. And then the next morning, let these kids go out and hunt on their mentors' tags.
So this is a tag that actually has your name on it.
Correct.
But they are squeezing the trigger, and then you're tagging it, or they're tagging it, or how does that work?
The tag is placed on it. My tag would be placed on it. But they are able to harvest it. They can take the meat home and everything. So, but my tag would be placed on it, and my tag would be filled at that point, which I'm perfectly fine with. If a kid can take that tag and fill it, that is awesome. So,
yeah, I think here in the state of Washington, you actually are not allowed to tag someone else's animal.
Yeah. So it would be my tag. And it would be posted on my animal, but the mentorship program allows them to harvest that animal on my tag.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that mentorship is just something that really is missing in the hunting industry.
Correct.
And I don't understand why people are not trying to build into the next generation, whether it be the next generation of adults who are going to end up having kids, or the next generation of the current children that are moving their way into voting and working their way into being able to have opinions and work in legislation and get involved in making sure that hunting is something that lasts for generations to come.
Yeah. I read an article in Outdoor Life magazine. Do a lot of writing for a website called eHunter, and I wrote an article about this whole mentor program that I'm trying to get going, and I referenced this Outdoor Life magazine article, and it talks about the decline of hunting and how the percentage of hunters from my age 45 and up is growing. And that's only because the percentage of hunters from my age down is declining, and it is declining at a pretty steep and quick rate. The bad thing about it is, as my generation and the older generation get older and older, at some point we'll have to stop hunting just because of age and health and things like that. And then there's nobody behind us to fill our shoes. It's something that needs to be addressed. I think a lot of the problem is, I don't know how to say it, but I think a lot of the problem is jealousy. I don't want to take a kid out and show him my spots. Then he might take my spots from here on out. You know, he might come back into my spots and kill my deer later, you know, in the next couple of years. Or,
you know, I actually talk about it as fear.
Yeah.
People are fearful to lose what they think is theirs.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And I think a lot of that is created by social media. That's one of the negative things of social media. You know, they see all these successful hunters and they don't want to share their spots with others, because then they can't be as successful as somebody else that's posting pictures on social media.
It's a struggle these days, and it's a fine line to walk that people don't truly understand what mentorship is.
Nope.
Mentorship isn't taking somebody to your spot and showing them the animals that you would normally be shooting and going through that. But at the same time, it can be.
It can be, yes.
If you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of different ways to mentor somebody. I actually wrote an article on my website for it, using scouting as a way to mentor people.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, like you going on a hike with somebody, you know, you take somebody who's never hunted, but has been somebody hikes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're hiking, it's all about the end destination, you know, A to B. But when you're hunting, it is the journey along the way. It's like, oh man, here's a game trail. Here's a track. Here's some droppings. Here's a rub. Oh man, look at this. Here's a south-facing slope. The sun's rising and setting here. The wind is going this direction. And all of a sudden, nature becomes alive and it paints this beautiful picture that just captivates people.
Yeah.
But if you don't even take the opportunity to teach somebody or show them how to scout or what to look for, you're killing what you love. You're might as well pour weed killer all over your beautiful little flower that you have that you love and you're trying to nurture, because you're killing it for generations to come.
Yeah, if you think about it, scouting and preseason preparation is the perfect time to mentor. To take a kid or a new hunter out into the outdoors and teach him what is a rub, or what does a deer track look like compared to an elk track? What does a bed look like? Where are these animals sleeping? All these things are done. It'd be perfect time to do it during the scouting season, during the preseason. And I wish more people would do it.
Yeah, it's something that I feel like is. People are really missing. And obviously, here's the one interesting aspect of hunting is that people can wait an entire year for 1 week.
Correct.
it's not like the NBA or Major League Baseball where you play 100 and something games and it's like, well, we can sacrifice this one game for this moment. All this preparation goes into this 1 week. So how... do you take it and spend it with somebody that whether you really know them or you don't?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have your own family to provide for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if that's the way that a person hunts, then yeah, that, I see that's difficult for them to give up that 1 week. But if you are in a position like I am, where we're out year round. We're looking January and February. We got deer and elk on the winter range. We're out there taking videos and photography of them. You start into March and April and May, and you got shed season. We're out there shed hunting. You got June, July, and August, and you're doing your preseason scouting. And then you're right into the archery hunt. And it just goes on. Really the only month we kind of take off at all is December. And so if you're out there that often, it's much easier to take a kid out or a new hunter and just expose them to the different things that you do out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's really interesting that in anything in life, if you want it to get bought in by the public, you got to campaign for it.
Yeah.
Just like a president campaigns for his election.
Correct.
I don't understand why hunters are not campaigning for the continuation of hunting to last.
Yeah. And that's where your hashtag comes in perfectly. Mentorship is conservation. And if we don't teach that next generation, man, the conservation is going to suffer greatly.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those of you who are like unfamiliar with what conservation is, it is to make sure that something sticks around for generations to come.
Yeah.
The root of the word is to conserve. And so to make sure that animals are around and land that can be used to hold animals and they have that habitat and these different things that all work together or the continuation of just a great world. If this whole world was concrete, it'd be horrible.
Yep, that would be a rough world to live in for sure.
So this is a Soulful Hunter podcast.
Yes.
The mission of this podcast is to transform lives through primal adventure, but the brand pillars is self-discovery, community, mentorship, natural connections, conservation. One of the things that I am learning as an adult, especially becoming a hunter as an adult, is how to balance life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance being a good father, a good husband, and a good hunter? And how do those all work together?
Yeah, that is huge, especially with a large family. I mean, it's tough. Our family situation is we have four boys, then our only girl, and then two more boys after that. So all four of my oldest boys now, Jace is the youngest of the four, and he has got his hunter's certificate, and he will be hunting with us this year. So all four of my oldest boys now hunt with me, and have done for a few years. I started dragging them out when the oldest one was about 6 years old. He started going with me. And then when the second one turned six, both of them came out, and then just so on and so forth. And now we're dragging four boys along with us. And so a lot of our family time is in the mountains. You know, we'll go camping and we'll take the family and we'll go. And so we try to balance that. Also, our kids are very active in athletics. We play a lot of baseball. And so we travel a lot with baseball as a family. And a lot of the things that we do are as a family. It's not just me going out with a bunch of guys and going hunting for the weekend. The way I am, I just as soon take my boys and go. I read a t-shirt long ago that said, teach your kids how to hunt so you don't have to hunt for your kids. and it's true. You know, if I can get them out there with them and build that passion and that love for the outdoors, they would just as soon spend time out there as behind the TV, which is a great thing.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now. It's called Raising Men. It's by a former Navy SEAL sniper trainer.
Oh, cool.
And one of the cool things that he teaches and talks about is humility, number one. Is if you don't know the answer, it's okay to say you don't know.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he needs to teach his children and recommends you teaching your own children is how to find the answer.
Yeah, how to search.
And it goes exactly what you just said with what you read on the t-shirt, is that if you can't hunt yourself, teach your children how to hunt, you know, and they're going to be able to find the answers on their own.
Yep, yep. And that shirt could have been for anything, like hunting for answers or hunting for animals or, you know, hunting for a job or whatever it might be. But teach them how to hunt. Teach them how to go find things that they're after and they want. It's a characteristic that a lot of kids nowadays don't have. They've been handed a lot of things. And so to teach them to go after those things that they want is important.
Yeah. Now, does your wife hunt?
She does. We were actually extremely surprised this year when the Utah draw results came out that she did not draw her elk tag. She has 22 elk points here in the state of Utah.
Woo!
And
hey now.
She did not draw her tag.
Now, is that 22 years or is that 11 years or how does that work down there?
That is 22 years of waiting for her elk tag.
Oh, baby.
So, yeah. Growing up, she grew up in a family that hunted. She was raised in a small town, small little farming community in southern Utah. And so they enjoyed the outdoors greatly as well. That was one of the main reasons that attracted me to her, is she knew how to handle herself in the outdoors. And it was great. And so we've, between the two of us, tried to teach our children the same things. But yeah, she is a hunter, and she enjoys going out and she enjoys shooting guns and things like that, right along with the rest of us.
Man, that is so cool. So, is she a better shot than you?
I will refuse to answer that.
Well, the family that shoots together stays together,
there
right?
There you go. I like that. I'm going to make that shirt up.
Right?
That's great.
So, tell me about this. Do all your children love to hunt? Or what if they don't?
What if they don't? That's a great question. You know, I wrote an article years ago that was published in, I think it was the Mule Deer Foundation's magazine. It was called Trophy Hunter to Trophy Teacher. And it was all about my journey going from, you know, a young single guy that loved to hunt and was after the biggest animals I could find, to getting married and having kids, and now teaching my trophies, my kids, how to hunt, and the full cycle of my hunting career. And as my kids grow older and, you know, move out of the house, and my wife and I become empty nesters, I will probably move right back into that cycle of on the circle of being a trophy hunter, going after those big animals again. But as a father of young kids, taking them into the outdoors, that's the first thing that I had to realize. I was not a trophy hunter, because if you've ever hauled kids around in the outdoors, they're not quiet. They don't hold still. And most of the time, as young boys, teenage boys, they're smelly. And so the odds of actually harvesting a big animal diminished very quickly. So I had to realize that and be okay with it, and just be able to be out there with my kids and teach them about the outdoors and be okay with that personally. It's a cycle that I'm in the middle of, but I'm excited to see the end, because one day I'd love to get back to hunting some trophies.
Yeah. So what about if one of your kids doesn't like to hunt?
If he doesn't like to hunt,
you still want to be able to teach him the skill?
I still want him to learn the skill. I've got one boy that loves to hunt, loves to get out there and hunt, but he does not like early mornings. He likes to sleep in. And so when we go out and do a lot of scouting, he won't go with us, because he wants to sleep in. He doesn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go, you know, hit the trail before light and start hiking in the dark.
Yeah, sounds like you got an upland bird hunter.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's perfectly fine. You know, if they don't want to continue that, you know, that's fine. I want to give them the skills and the knowledge so that if they do want to continue, they can. And so each person has to decide where they fit on the whole outdoor hunting scale. You know, if they just love the outdoors and want to go camping, but not hunting, that's great. At least they'll have the skills and the knowledge of the outdoors to be able to do that with their family when they grow up.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that is missing in society nowadays is that people don't have the knowledge to create or provide for themselves the basic necessities of life. Shelter, food, water, heat, like just those basic things that we need. If push came to shove, could they provide that for themselves?
I think a lot of people would be in trouble. I really do.
So what is it about hunting that really hooked you at a young age?
What it was back in the, see, would have been in the, you know, in the 80s when I started hunting, in the early 80s, it was spending time in the outdoors with my dad and my uncles and my cousins, and just being there as a family. It was a tradition. It was, you know, it was just what we did during the fall. And that was a great draw to me. I'm, as you can tell, with seven kids, I'm a family man. I love my family, love being with my family, my extended family. My wife comes from a family of 8 children. So both of us, you know, family was a big priority for us. And so that was
another way to put that is community.
Yeah, it is community.
You found a community that you felt accepted and loved.
Yeah. Yep. That is true. And so if we can teach that same, you know, tradition, heritage, community to our children, then I feel like we've done them right.
Yeah. Being a school teacher, you know, one of the biggest struggles that I see in society today is that kids come from broken families.
Yeah.
And what is happening is that their most basic, simple form of community is broken. Yeah. When kids are searching for community, whether it's gang involvement or with sexual relations or whatever it is, they are searching for something that is going to accept them for who they are.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we can do as hunters is to be advocates and ambassadors for what we love and open up the doors to a community that's going to accept them for who they are and teach them the healthy skills that are going to lead towards a fulfilling life.
Yeah. You know, I two thoughts. One of them is here at our middle school, they have a national archery program in the middle school, which is awesome. They do shoots throughout the area here, and then they have a big kind of a state competition at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in Salt Lake City in February. And so that little program in the school is a place that that these kids can go and fill that community, that involvement with each other and that acceptance. They've got so many kids wanting in that program now that they actually have to have tryouts to get into that program because there's so many kids wanting to be involved.
So for people who are hearing this podcast and is not familiar with what this is, I actually just applied for the grant here in the state of Washington. I'm a middle school PE teacher.
Perfect.
And I, this next year, just brought in the National Archery in Schools program into my school.
That is awesome.
And that is a grant that the Department of Fish and Wildlife here in Washington combines with the, what they call it, NASP, the National Archery in Schools program, and provides part funding in order for you to bring archery into your school. And one of the most beautiful things about archery, but also with hunting and being something that's brand new to people, is it levels the playing field. You don't have these kids that are like in team sports that grew up playing basketball or baseball or all these sports where the amount of skill or experience really sets people apart. You're on a level playing field when you are learning something brand new.
Yeah. And you know, you don't have to be the most physically gifted athlete to be a great archer. And so it really levels the playing field. I've seen some young women that are exceptional archers. It is an awesome, awesome program that the schools can be involved with that can give these kids that sense of community and involvement and acceptance away from anything else, the drugs or the, you know, whatever it might be. If they're looking for something, this is a great program for them.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we all just want to be loved and accepted.
Very true.
And it's whether or not we get it from the people we want it from, or we get it from people we don't really want it from, but they're willing to give it to us.
Yep. Yep. That's very, very true. Kids need acceptance. They need love, and even us as adults need the same thing. But kids will go most of the time go out and search for it if they're not getting it where they want to get it primarily.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things where I was talking to my wife about. Our kids were complaining. I have a 4.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old, and our 4.5-year-old was complaining about not wanting the food that we were providing. And she's like, well, he'll eat if he's hungry because he's not going to starve himself.
Yeah. I've been through a few of those battles.
Right. And so the point is that people are going to search for what they need. I talk about I teach health as well one day a week as a part of our class. And I talk to these kids and it's like, before you can achieve something, you have to know what you want. Because if you don't know what you want, and I use the analogy of archery, is like you could be in a room that's pitch black and there's a target somewhere and you have nowhere to aim. Yep. No idea like where to hit your target. But as soon as you know where your target or where your goal is, you're going to hit it.
Yeah.
So you got to know what you want in life.
Very true. Very, very, very true.
Man, this is fun, Jeff. I'm really glad that you came on tonight.
Well, I, you know, being involved with my own kids, and being involved with their friends, it's really my passion. I love the youth. I love being involved with them and helping them grow and learn and things like that. I love to coach, and this Hunt Mentor program is just another way to coach. It doesn't have to be on the athletic field. It can be in the mountain. And so this is a topic that I'm pretty passionate about. I love being there for the kids and helping them to grow and develop into better people.
Yeah. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Either you're getting better or you're getting worse.
Yeah.
And you always want to be moving forward.
Yep. Very true.
So tell me a little bit about this. What did hunting teach you about yourself?
What did hunting teach me about myself? It's still teaching me. For instance, last year on my moose hunt, I learned a ton about myself. I had a limited entry, once in a lifetime moose tag in Utah. And I wanted to kill it with my bow. And so I started out with my bow, and the hunt goes about a month long, and we were a couple weeks into the hunt, and we'd seen some good bulls here and there. One morning, my boys and I ran into a really good bull on the trail, and we snuck in, and I got a shot at it. I tell you, if you think buck fever is bad, you ought to try the moose shakes. Oh, the moose shakes are bad. I drew back on that bull, and I had him at 35 yards. And I probably, if I would have had pins down far enough, I probably would have had my 100-yard pin on him. I hadn't leveled my bow. I had nothing. And I touched the trigger off, and my arrow sailed who knows where. It was gone.
Wow.
The great thing was he didn't spook too bad. He jumped a little bit and moved up into the bushes and the trees a little further. And so we snuck up in there a little bit further, and I actually got a second shot at him, had him at 30 yards again. And this time I was calm. I was cool. I was collected. All the nerves were kind of settled out of me. And I drew back on him again and settled my pin in perfectly and let that arrow fly. And it felt so good when it left the string. And then about 5 yards short of him, it hit a quaky branch and deflected. And then he was gone. I thought to myself, oh man, I just wasted the one opportunity that I'm going to get, you know? And so I went into the depths of depression going, man, I screwed up my once in a lifetime tag, you know? Just working through that, through my mental issues, trying to get myself back into a positive space, you know? A week or so later, we were back out hunting with my boys, and we got onto a track of a big bull, and we tracked him out, and I was able to harvest him, and boy, that roller coaster ride from highs to lows and ups and downs. And then after we had harvested the moose, of course we processed him and we quartered him up. We happened to be in an area of the mountain that was a watershed for Salt Lake City, and so we couldn't take livestock in to recover the moose. So we had to come out on our backs, and we had a 2-mile pack out to the cars, and that taught me a lot of myself as well. I had the horns and the head and the cape on my back, and I was probably about 150, probably just over 150 pounds on my back. And for 2 miles, that was a mental struggle. You know, put one foot in front of the other, just keep walking, just keep moving, just keep walking. And so even today, hunting still teaches me things about myself. The fact that I can do hard things, I can overcome mistakes. there's so many lessons to be learned from hunting and being in the outdoors. It's a great place to learn.
Yeah, it really gut checks yourself.
Yes.
The grit. What are you made of?
Yep.
The hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life was pack out my first big game animal solo by myself.
That's a lot of work.
It was, yeah, and it was a black bear, 9 miles into the backcountry. I took all the meat. I didn't bone it out, and took the entire rug with me in one trip.
Oh, buddy, that's a pack out.
Yeah, well, rookie mistake. Like, I didn't even know what I was really getting myself into. I ran a marathon a month later.
Oh, man.
And I've never ran a marathon, and I still, that was the only one I've ever ran. But the marathon was a walk in the park compared to that pack out.
Yeah, it would have been. You know, it's, there's no way. Well, I can't say that. You could do it. I was going to say, there's no way humanly possible you could have done that with a moose, but you'd have just had to make multiple trips. I think there was seven of us that packed that moose out. So yeah, you can do hard things. It's, you just got to get past the mental side of it.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I was always drawn to the military. I saw Black Hawk Down as a child, and I was like, oh baby, sign me up. I want to jump out of helicopters. I want to be surrounded. I want to get on the ground. I want to be in danger, and I want to feel alive. And I can't get that now. And now maybe I could still enlist, maybe not. But I know I have a calling upon my life. My calling is to teach and to inspire.
Yeah.
And what I can do is take what I've learned and share that. And one of the ways that I fuel my fire of and need for adventure is to be out in the wilderness and to go out on these adventures and these trials and these expeditions to really see what I am made of and how I can, whether it get through the fire or what I'm like on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a great way to do it for sure. I tell you that the thing that fuels my fire, is, you know, I've harvested my fair share of animals, but there's nothing that gets me more excited and more emotional and more, I don't know what else you want to call it. But when I have the opportunity to be there with one of my children and they harvest their first animal, it's on a totally different level.
Yep. I haven't had an experience just like that yet. But as an adult who started hunting later in life, I have a hunting partner.
Yep.
That I've been able to be with when they've taken their first animal.
I listened to the podcast. It was great. It was great.
Oh, well, thank you. The thing is that people miss is, like, you don't actually have to shoot the animal to feel every emotion that goes with it.
Exactly. And I hope that's what these people that I can get to join this Hunt Mentor program realize, is that they can get the same excitement, joy, emotions out of helping this youth do it as they do themselves.
Absolutely.
Now, if I remember right, that podcast, it was boxers and sandals.
Birkenstocks,
that's right.
Yep. I don't know. All you busters out there that wear Crocs, get out of here.
And something about a yoga instructor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you're in the backcountry and you don't expect to run into anybody except a yoga instructor and their students.
Oh, that was a great podcast. That's
hunting.
Yeah, that's a one in a million experience there.
Yep. Well, you know, here's a beautiful thing. There's no coincidences in life. We are on a journey that is meant and is perfect, exactly how we need it in life.
Yeah.
Everything that we get in life is exactly what we need.
It's designed for us.
It is exactly designed for us. Whether I shot my bear in front of a yoga instructor or whatever that story or journey was, it was made for me the way it needed to be. It happened the way it needed to.
Yeah. you know, and the great thing about that story is even though they weren't part of your party or your hunting group or things like that, you were a hunt mentor to that yoga instructor because it turned into a very positive experience for her. I'm sure she talks about it now.
Yeah, I hope she does. I hope she's listening to this and we get to meet up and maybe we can record a podcast.
Oh, that'd be awesome podcast.
We'll run into her on the street someday and be like, hey, I think you were the person that spotted that bear for me. Thank you.
Oh, that would be great.
So one of the things I want to ask, and I really enjoy asking my guests, is our strengths can also be our weaknesses. So what is a weakness that can inhibit you on your hunt? And then what is one of the biggest struggles that you have when it comes to hunting?
One of my weaknesses, I guess you can put it as impatient. I don't know. I love to see what's over the next ridge. Always want to go see what's over the next ridge. And sometimes that can cost you a great animal if you had to just sit there and waited and been patient. Sometimes that can end up putting you 10 miles deep in the wilderness and you have to hike out of there because you just had to see what's over that next ridge. So I think that's one of them is my impatience. And what would repeat the other question? I can't remember it now.
What is one of the biggest struggles that you find when it comes to hunting?
Biggest struggles. I don't know what the answer to that one would be. Probably being, going back to that article I wrote about being a trophy hunter to trophy teacher, probably that struggle going from I'm out there on my own for myself to now I'm out there to involve my kids and teach them. And it's not all about me anymore. Trying to get over that selfish attitude.
Going from selfish to selfless.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a struggle for a while. But man, once it started the end, the joys I got from being on the selfless side were way greater than the joys I got from being on the selfish side.
Yeah. One of the things that, have you ever had the opportunity to like feed homeless people?
Yeah.
Or provide opportunity for them.
Yep. It's a wonderful experience.
It's extremely fulfilling, isn't it?
It is. You know, and some of the stories and the people that you meet are just, they're incredible. They're incredible people.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I feel like people forget or miss or just don't have that opportunity to yet in their life is what it means to them and what it means for you to be able to fill their stomachs. To fill their bellies, to feed them.
Yeah.
And mentoring somebody in hunting is not only feeding them, but also teaching them how to feed themselves.
Yeah, very true.
And it's extremely rewarding.
Yep, it is. And if we could just help people catch that vision right there.
Yeah, just like, come on, people, join the revolution. We're taking over. Mentorship is conservation. Yep. It's about being an advocate and an ambassador for what you love. And it's time to step up and help the next generation of hunters so that what we love will last forever.
Yeah. I told my kids, it would have been a few years ago when I was 40. I told my boys, I said, I want to be doing this with you and your children when I'm twice my age. They looked at me and said, you want to be hunting when you're 80? And I said, yeah, I want to be out here with you and my grandchildren. And you may have to roll me out to a spot on, you know, in a wheelchair and just let me sit there in glass, but I don't care. I want to be out here with you. And
yeah, you'll be packing out my animals.
Yeah, that's right. I'll find a long range rifle. And I'll just shoot from, you know, 2,000 yards and you guys don't have to go get it for me.
One of the things I think is very often forgotten in life is, I think it was President Abraham Lincoln said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, I think it was. That's a great quote.
And the point is, stand for something, believe in something, whether I agree with you or not, at least the fact that you have a foundation is extremely important.
Yeah.
You know, and so for hunters, we need to actually take a stand.
Yeah. And we need to stand together.
Agreed.
Yeah. You know, it's okay if other people don't agree with us, but when we fight against ourselves amongst ourselves, it's just bad for the whole lifestyle and community of hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to paint a picture for everyone listening to this podcast talk that's hearing about hunters fight amongst themselves. I'm a school teacher.
Yep.
I like to relate things to school. So let's say that you have all these teachers ripping on each other. These students are going to be like, this is the worst place ever. I don't want anything to do with education.
Yep.
I don't want to go to science class and hear science talk about math and how horrible it is and how they can't stand them. And I don't want to go to PE and hear about language arts and be like, oh, what a bunch of jerks. They're doing it wrong. You know, like, yep. Shame on them. Yep. What this world needs is more love and less judgment.
Yeah. Yep.
Stop judging people so much. Live your life. And if you love something and you believe in it, then take a stand for it. But stop telling everyone else they're wrong if they are truly trying to fulfill their own soul and do it in a manner that is good for society.
Yeah. You definitely have to take a stand for what you believe in. I agree completely.
And that's what you're doing at Nimrod Outdoors. It's what I'm doing here with the Soulful Hunter podcast and with Washington Backcountry.
Yep.
And it's what I hope people get from this podcast and they take and run with it.
Yeah. Join the movement.
You know, yeah, join the movement. It's taken over. And if you don't know, you're going to get hit by the wave here pretty soon.
Yeah. And I would much rather be on top of the wave than under it.
Oh, it's a lot more fun riding it than it is getting pushed around.
Yep.
I love it. Well, Jeff, really, I thank you so much for joining us tonight. Is there anything that you'd like to add in regards to the program that you're pushing and anything else you'd like to share in regards to what you're doing?
Now, if anyone is interested in the Hunt Mentor program, you can contact me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. We're on YouTube. We have all of our videos on YouTube. You can go and see my boys hunt and harvest their first animals. Subscribe to our channel. Would love to hear your comments about what you think. But yeah, if you're interested in this Hunt Mentor program and you want to be able to do it in your state, wherever you might be, contact me. I'd love to talk to you about it, what we're trying to accomplish with it. So please contact us.
And where can they find you at exactly?
Instagram, Facebook. Everything is Nimrod Outdoors. We have a Twitter account. My boys made.
And you have a website, right?
We do have a website. It is www.beanimrod.com.
Be a Nimrod. Yep. Be a great hunter.
Yep.
I love it. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your mission, and just being an ambassador for the hunting community and for what you love and being a great father and a great person.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been a great hour.
Oh, man, it's been a pleasure. All right, everyone, Jeff Barlow. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.